Hallelujah. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Pastor Joshua will lead us to study the book of Acts, chapter 8. Yesterday, I talked about the paragraphing of chapter 8, chapter 7. First 1-6 is about the revival of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit come upon everyone. So starting from Jerusalem, and then they go to Judah and Samaria, and go to all the earth to be the witness of Jesus. Yesterday, we talked about the revival in Jerusalem. And then started a spiritual warfare. It's internal warfare. Then seven deacons came out. The first deacon was Stephen. Yesterday, we mentioned that Stephen got martyred. And the topic was a glorious vessel, seeing the glorious God. And he has this glorious faith. And he becomes this glorious kernel of wheat. Yesterday, when I shared about the kernel of wheat, I was very touched. And this is how the kingdom of God is being developed. Jesus Christ walked on this way. And he came down on earth and died like a kernel of wheat and giving a lot of fruits. And Stephen is the same. The Spirit of Jesus Christ was on him. When he walked on the earth, he's just like Christ walking on the earth. So I talk about like the same form. This is Jesus' salvation. And Stephen was his disciple. Today we see the second ordained deacon. Chapter 6, verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip. And also five other people. Verse 6 of chapter 6. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. So the word of God spread is related to the ordination of seven deacons, seven disciples. The second part of verse 7, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. We see a great revival in Jerusalem. So this is it depends on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down first. Then it's given birth to the church, and thousands of people believed in Christ. But we can see the operation within the church is done through the apostles. So we need to fix Pastor Joshua's microphone. So it's through the apostles. However, problems arose. Because they have 12 apostles, they cannot do all things. Therefore, they have these internal problems. And the church was getting bigger. and they need to take care of many things in many areas. Therefore, the people grumbled. And this happened between the Grecian Jews and also the Hebrew Jews. So the problem arose. They couldn't take care of the women about their food. Therefore, they ordained seven apostles. Because the apostle said, we must give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So they continue to work spiritually. After ordaining the seven deacons, so they took up a lot of administration work, just like arranging mercy fund and the provision of food and other things. After they have done this, the whole church and Jerusalem revived. But at the same time, they face another problem. The more they get revived, the greater the persecution. Then they face great persecution. Why such great revival brings about persecution? Because many priests believe in the word of God. So these evil spirits, then they think they are ripping off of their authorities. So we see that in revival, we need to resolve many problems. Like our church back in 2001. Now it's 2020. It's 2020 now. Almost coming to our 20th anniversary. And we've been facing lots of problems. Internal and external problems. It's the same for the Jerusalem church. Now they are facing both internal and external problems as well. And then they resolve these problems one by one. Now they have come to a point. The first deacon got martyred, and he became a glorious wheat. And this persecution was getting bigger because many people believed in Jesus. Satan won't allow this to happen. But how about God? In chapter 8, we could see this. And a kernel of wheat died on the ground. And it gives birth to many wheat. And this kernel of wheat died. And the new wheat hasn't come yet or hasn't matured yet. And what will happen? Will revival be hindered? Will the gospel not being able to spread? No. Because God continued to raise up vessels. God not only raised up apostles, but even the deacons will rise up. You know, these deacons, they are not apostles. They do not have the authority of the church. How do we apply today? It's just like our cell leaders in the church. The cell leader is responsible to take care of the sheep. Whoever has problem, they need to handle it, help them. And if they cannot handle it, they have to bring the issue to their MG leaders. And even the MG leaders can handle it and will come to our curator staff team. Perhaps Pastor Joshua and Simo will deal with it. Or if they face some, like cell members, they are in great difficulties, having family issues. Or they have accident, financial problem. Through discipleship, the cell leaders will try the best to resolve the problems. If they cannot, they have to leave it up to the curator staff or even to Pastor Joshua. When it comes to me, then we will have greater resources. We can handle it with life and with the truth in order to resolve the problem for them. Over the past 20 years, we face many, many problems. Whenever we resolve a problem, the church becomes stronger. Then another problem comes. Another crisis comes. Then we resolve it. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we follow God, we resolve the problems. And the church build up. This is my experience over the past 20 years. I believe that many brothers and sisters, if you've been with us or the co-workers, you know all these things. So once upon a time when Pastor Deborah mistreated me and is not, is angry with me and Simo. And I said, she really said bad words in front of all the co-workers. And Pastor Deborah said, I wait for you to ask me to go. I really want to say, okay, you just go. Leave the church. However, God was helping me. I suppressed these words. I must not say these words. And I look at Pastor Deborah and I say, Deborah, you have changed. Your heart has changed. So all these years, you were like that. But I say to you, from the beginning, when I met with you, I love you, I use you. My heart never changed. I won't say, okay, go, just leave the church. I still haven't changed how I love her. And I couldn't remember very clearly. And another incident. And then I couldn't take it anymore. That's the second time. And I say to her, okay, don't go. I will go. Okay, let me go instead of you going. This is passive aggressive. I was being like attacked. I was in weaknesses. Then I will never say, okay, you go. Leave the church. No, I won't say that. And then Pastor Anna and Pastor Jason, and also together with Simo, we resolved the problem with Pastor Deborah. Today, Pastor Deborah changed his name, Chinese name, which means close to the heart. She's really good, close to our heart now. I really give thanks to God for Pastor Deborah. So when we unite together as a team, then our church grows stronger. It's the same for the Jerusalem church. We could see that the problems arose continuously. And then when we follow God, then we can resolve the problem one by one. And the church will grow stronger. We could see that Stephen got tired. When we come to chapter 8, there are three paragraphs here. The topic is, like the cold winter cannot stop the work of the Holy Spirit. I struggle a bit whether this is the work of the Holy Spirit or the touching of God. No matter what environment, God's touch is there. The greater the problem, the greater the touch of God. Like since last year until now, we experienced a lot of problems. difficulties, we have internal problems and external problems, and it's also we are in danger as well. It's because of all this wickedness. But over the past years, then we feel the touch of God more and more. So that's why the topic I called it like the cold winter cannot stop the touching of God. The more of God's touch, then our heart feel warmer, and the greater the work of the Holy Spirit. That all these other problems that we have been facing. First paragraph, verse 1 to 17, is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 to 3, talk about the church had great persecution and the disciples scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Some people, they explain the scriptures the other way around. I heard of such explanation. They said, the church in Jerusalem revived a lot. They were happy. The church was in its comfort zone. The heart of God is to let the gospel be preached to Judea and Samaria through the church. But the church in Jerusalem is so good, so comfortable. How they didn't want to go out. And then how did God lead them out? And then God gave them a great persecution. So it's not that way. Or they might put it this way, brothers and sisters, you stay at home for a long time. And then you better go out to preach the gospel. Otherwise, persecution will come to you. This is very wrong. God will not treat us this way. It's not because you don't preach the gospel, then I take away the life of Stephen. Oh, if this is the way, my life could have been taken away many times. It's not. It's really, there was great persecution in the church. So that we cannot explain about this persecution even in theology or how we can resolve. So when accident comes, we cannot use theology to explain this. When accident comes, so let us not force ourselves to find a reason. Oh, I could not. It must be me doing wrong because the church faced persecution. No. So this is the work of the Satan, and there is no reason for that. We should not find a reason for Satan. We just know that this persecution is coming from the enemy, and that's enough. We believe that God is good. When persecution comes, so the disciples were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, all over the place of Judah. We believe that God is good. No matter what the environment is, even though the disciples in Jerusalem, they're not willing to be scattered. But when persecution from the enemies come, God can turn these curses into blessing. God can use good people and bad people. In whatever environment, God's will surely be accomplished. And this is our faith to God, our faith in God. And then the apostles were scattered. Let's go to verse 3. But Saul began to destroy the church. So this glorious kernel of wheat has grown this fruit, and that is Saul. He became very wicked. He dragged people to prison. So it has been after a period of time, from a youth to become someone who can drag people and put them in prison, he has gone through a period of time. He has grown up. He has authority. He is zealous. However, he persecuted the church. He is the new enemy in the church. Persecuting and destroying the church. Verse 3. Talk about Saul, who is so cruel and wicked. He destroyed the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. This persecution was really great. And there's new enemy coming. What should they do? But the church is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So they preached the gospel not only in Jerusalem, but all over the places. And Philip appeared. Philip originally was in Jerusalem, serving as a cell leader, just to serve the needs of the people. But now he rose up to preach the way. We can see that in the church, the got raised up, the preacher. That is to say, the ordinary brothers and sisters and the cell leaders, they rose up to preach. So Philip was a good example. Those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere. There are so many people. They went all over Samaria and Judah to preach the word of God. They have the power of the Holy Spirit in them. When they faced persecution, they did not fear. How did they preach the gospel? What is the effectiveness? For example, Philip, verse 5, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ. We could see there is great effectiveness. Verse 6, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. And he cast out the demons, healed the sick, and there was great joy in that city. Verse 8, brothers and sisters, we can see in Philip's ministry, Philip is a representative, represent all the brothers and sisters. The apostles continued to stay in Jerusalem, but the disciples were scattered. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem to face all the persecution. But the disciples were sent out, they went down every city to preach the gospel. And what is the effectiveness? And Philip is a good example. The power of the Holy Spirit was on him. When he came out, he's just like Christ Jesus. He healed the sick, cast out the demons, and preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And everyone listened to him. When we saw Jesus preaching, everyone was amazed. They opened their mouths wide. Who is he? He's great. Now Philip's like that. Everybody listened to him. And there was great joy among them. Even Simon the sorcerer believed in the way. Verse 9 to 12. Now Simon the sorcerer believed in Jesus. The gospel of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus was widely preached in that area. Even Simon was baptized. Everyone was amazed and astonished. The apostles was in Jerusalem. They heard that. And they sent people to look for them. So Peter and John went to Samaria. Verse 14. We could see that Philip and Jerusalem have good connection. He won't say, oh, I preach really well. Then I can be independent. I can become the apostle. No, he didn't do that. No, the apostle cannot ordain themselves. So the apostle won't find anyone and then ordain me as apostle. But somebody did it. I really want to be the apostle. And I find a foreign pastor to anoint me, ordain me as a pastor. In fact, that pastor didn't know him. He just gave him the money. Be careful. I will talk about it more. However, we could see Philip. He's not that like that. He still submit under the authority of the apostles. Therefore, Jerusalem sent Peter and John to see them, to see Philip. And then, when they came to Samaria, he really affirmed his ministry, prayed for him, and then he received the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We could see that Philip has a limitation. When he laid hands, the Holy Spirit didn't come down. He didn't have that authority. He himself has the power of the Holy Spirit. When he preached the gospel, people listened. He performed miracles, signs and wonders. But when the people, how they receive the Holy Spirit, they need to send the apostles and lay hands on them. When Peter and John affirmed the work of Philip, and then lay hands on these people and they received the Holy Spirit. You can see the apostles in Jerusalem, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the people scattered all over the places. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. The gospel of the kingdom of God was widely preached. But still, these people, they have good connection with Jerusalem, with the church. And the apostles went out to see, affirm them, pray for them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Since then, the gospel continued to be preached. The second paragraph, verse 18 to 25, continued to walk in the Holy Spirit. Here it talks about Simon. He saw Peter, oh, when you pray, the Holy Spirit came. He also wanted this gift. Then he intended to buy this gift with money. Okay, I offer up to you. Give me your authority. Then Peter said in verse 20, may your money perish with you. We cannot buy money with gifts because your heart is not right. I could see that you are in the bondage of sins. Verse 22, 23, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Simon cannot change himself. What does it mean here? About the authority of the apostles or gifts. We cannot buy them with money. It's not that you want it, you get it. It's given by God. We must obey in the Spirit. About obedience, we make it wrong. We think obedience is without freedom. Whatever you say, I must listen. No. No, it's not that. Jesus submit to God. Does it mean that Jesus has no freedom? As the interaction between the Father and the Son is beautiful. So simply speaking, I remind our brothers and sisters, and I remind our co-workers in the branch churches, obedience doesn't mean listening. It's not that whatever your authorities say, you'll listen. You don't have your own opinion, no. Obedience means, no matter your authority is right or wrong, I still submit under him. I still treat him or her as my authority, the head. Just like Sarah submitting under Abraham as her head, her husband. Abraham betrayed her and let Sarah come under like risk or danger. When Sarah came back, he still treated Abraham as her head. Let me say this. It's not that when Sarah came back, oh, how come you're such a bad head, a dead head? I thought about our pastors in the branch churches. I asked them to do ABC to resolve the couple's problem. And then the wife say, "You are such a deadhead," because the wife was seriously hurt. But today we see this couple is really good now. They reconciled. This is called obedience. Even though the husband is not doing good, the wife still treat him as her head. It's not that you've been doing good and you continue to be my head. Otherwise, I'll go away. It's not that. So the wife submit to the husband in this way. The wife must rise up to help her own husband. Continue to walk in the Spirit. We have to deal with our motives. Do not use tactics or use money in order to grab the authority, seize your power. I could see that some other churches, they cannot continue to walk in the Spirit. Because some people, they want to grab hold of their own authority or gifts, and which brought about division in the church. On the appearance, there is no division. However, they give money. They use their own way. The one with authorities is greedy for money, greedy for the benefits, and then lay hands on them and pray. He thought he has received the gifts or the authority. It's not money buying all these things. It's not like a transaction. Only God who gives us the power, authority, and the gifts. If God didn't want to give special gifts to someone, no matter how much money you give to the authorities with gifts, then they pray for you. Maybe they squeeze some power and authority over you. No, it's all from God. That person thought he would receive the authority by using these tactics. In the spiritual movement, many people that they have such false gifts. They pretended the Holy Spirit has not come down. So whatever they do is the same, no growth. It's about their life problems that bring about the division in the church. It's not that the gospel being preached. I should put it this way. The church is divided because of this. But God still used them. And then the gospel continued to be preached, giving birth to many churches. Now let's look at the last paragraph. This is important. To be the vessel, to be the power and the to be the vessel of the Holy Spirit in touching people. We can see that at the beginning, Philip was touched by the Holy Spirit. He has power. But is he become the vessel, the channel through which the Holy Spirit touched people? It's not. So when Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit, he still need to wait for John and Peter to come and lay hands on him. But can Philip become the channel through which the Holy Spirit can touch people? He still need to grow. So in this paragraph, we could see verse 26 to 40.
简单来说,
we could see a eunuch from Ethiopia. So he went up to Jerusalem and then went back home. But he's not being touched by God yet. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that, so he started out, and on his way, it is like a desert road. It's never easy to walk on the way. It's not many people there. Philip say, oh, I have to preach the gospel. You ask me to go to the desert. Nobody is there. But he submitted. He's willing to listen. God said, go south. And he went. And he met this eunuch. This eunuch invited him to his chariot and asked him questions. So Philip started to talk about Jesus to this eunuch. And the eunuch received baptism. And after baptism, after baptism, the Spirit of God took Philip away, and the eunuch could see him no more. So the eunuch joyfully went away. Philip was touched by God. He followed God. And then God used Philip to touch this eunuch. So through Philip, this eunuch received the touching of God and believed in Jesus. And this eunuch has great influential power. He returned to his own country, Ethiopia, and he became a godly believer. Let's look at verse 40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Azotus, it's in the western part of Judah. Caesarea is in the western part of Samaria. So along the seashore, he came from the south to north. He could see Philip preaching the gospel there. God was using him to touch people. He became the vessel through which God touched the people. He followed God.
And
then he met this eunuch from Ethiopia. And then all of a sudden, he disappeared. The Spirit of God took him out. But in Sotis, people met him. And even in Caesarea, people saw him preaching the gospel. As led by the Holy Spirit, he didn't just rely on his feet to walk. He could follow God in this place and then to another place or to other places. And after baptizing Basil, all of a sudden he disappeared and he went to other places, continued to preach the gospel. And after baptism or perform miracles, afterwards, boom, and then he disappeared and went to other places. Since then, Judah, Samaria is filled with the footprint of Philip. God used him to touch many, many people. Stephen died, but God raised up Philip. Brothers, my child, every one of us should get prepared to become Philip. Philip is better, doesn't need to die. And also, he has many beautiful daughters. I went to the place where Philip lived. I received this anointing of preaching the gospel. I thank God.